I had nothing to say to these words. They were not new to me. My very first recollections of existence included hints of the same kind. This reproach of my dependence had become a vague sing-song in my ear, very painful and crushing, but only half intelligible. Miss Abbott joined in.
"And you ought not to think yourself on an equality with a Mrs. Reed and Master Reed, because Mrs. kindly allows you to be brought up with them. They will have a great deal of money, and you will have none. It's your place to be humble and to try to make yourself agreeable to them."
"What we tell you is for your good," added Bessie, in no harsh voice. "You should try to be useful and pleasant. Then perhaps you would have a home here. But if you become passionate and rude, Mrs. will send you away, I'm sure."
"Besides," said Miss Abbott, "God will punish her. He might strike her dead in the midst of her tantrums, and then where would she go? Come, Bessie, we will leave her. I wouldn't have her heart for anything. Say your prayers, Miss Eyre, when you're by yourself, for if you don't repent, something bad might be permitted to come down the chimney and fetch you away."
They went, shutting the door and locking it behind them. The Red Room was a spare chamber, very seldom slept in. I might say never, indeed, unless when a chance influx of visitors at Gateshead Hall rendered it necessary to turn to account all the accommodation it contained. Yet it was one of the largest and stateliest chambers in the mansion. A bed, supported on massive pillars of mahogany, hung with curtains of deep red damask, stood out like a tabernacle in the centre. The two large windows, with their blinds always drawn down, were half shrouded in festoons and falls of similar drapery. The carpet was red. The table at the foot of the bed was covered with a crimson cloth. The walls were a soft fawn colour, with a blush of pink in it. The wardrobe, the toilet table, the chairs were of darkly polished old mahogany.